Good morning, I'm Robin with KUAC News. University of Alaska Fairbanks Professor Emeritus and Ecologist Terry Chapin has been named the 2019 recipient of the Volvo Environment Prize. The prize recognizes one person worldwide for outstanding scientific discoveries in the areas of environmental science and sustainable development. It comes with a cash sum of 1.5 million Swedish krona, that's about $150,000, and will be presented at a ceremony in Stockholm on November 7th. Members of the prize jury noted in their statement that Chapin's work will have a long-lasting impact on the ways to build a sustainable future with the concept of Earth stewardship, supporting the deep institutional and structural change required to meet the challenges ahead. Chapin began his career as a biology instructor with a Peace Corps in Bogota, Colombia. Afterward, he completed his doctorate at Stanford University and accepted a faculty position at UAF in 1973. His early research focused on plants and how they adapted to changing conditions in the North. In 2001, he founded a new graduate program at UAF, the Resilience and Adaptation Program, which aimed to train future scientists to take an interdisciplinary approach to studying global change. Chapin's newest book, Grassroots Stewardship, Sustainability Within Our Reach, expands on the concept of Earth stewardship and offers achievable action for the average person. The book will be released in early 2020. Last night, U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan tweeted that he opposed the withdrawal of U.S. forces from northeast Syria. It is one of the very few times Senator Sullivan has opposed a policy by President Donald Trump. The president's decision has shaken his administration and Congress. Sullivan worked in the State Department under former President George W. Bush. He wrote, "This decision will likely lead to increased Iranian influence, expand the power vacuum likely to be filled by Russian and Iranian proxies, and would raise the likelihood that ISIS prisoners will be released or escape from detention. While I agree that our troops should not be in Syria indefinitely, such a precipitous withdrawal and abandonment of our Kurdish allies would make it harder in the future to attract partner forces to work with America," Sullivan tweeted about 6:30 p.m. Alaska time. President Trump has signed a bill to exempt diesel generators in rural Alaska from an air quality rule. Village Power Utilities say the equipment needed to meet the Tier 4 emissions standard is impractical. They say the equipment causes generators to break down more and burn more fuel, two problems that are essentially hard on remote communities. The Tier 4 emissions standards are from a rule the Environmental Protection Agency adopted in 2004. They've been phased in gradually, greatly reducing the amount of black soot and nitrogen oxides allowed in diesel exhaust. Senator Dan Sullivan sponsored the bill to exempt rural Alaska generators from the rule, and President Trump signed it on Friday. The University of Alaska Board of Regents voted yesterday to modify decisions made because the system is facing huge cuts from the state. They decided to stop working on lumping all three universities into a single accreditation, at least until after the University of Alaska Fairbanks goes through its accreditation in 2 years. The UA system includes three separately accredited universities, UA Anchorage, UA Fairbanks, and University of Alaska Southeast, plus about a dozen community campuses and the statewide administration. If the board chooses to actively consider going for a single accreditation in the future, it'll go through a longer, more careful process to examine the benefits and costs. Yesterday's meeting was scheduled to respond to the Northwest Commission on Colleges and Universities. The commission has a lot of influence over the university accreditation process. Student leaders came to the meeting and testified that they felt left out of the decision-making process. The regents have until October 31st to respond to the commission. A fatal accident at College Road and Johansson Expressway yesterday morning was a single vehicle rollover. Fairbanks City Fire Department responded just before 9:30 and transported the driver to Fairbanks Memorial Hospital, where he later died. The driver of the vehicle has been identified as 35-year-old Adam Bradley Tonies. Police say the vehicle was traveling east on the Johansson Expressway and slid off the road into the ditch on the south side of the highway, and as the driver tried to get the SUV back on the road, he lost control and the vehicle rolled. Police say the driver had been ejected from the vehicle because he was not wearing a seatbelt. There were no other vehicles damaged or passengers injured. Today we begin a three-part series. The tiny village of Red Devil on the Kuskokwim River is fighting to stay alive. There's no city or tribal government, no school, and no store. Residents want to revive the community, and their best chance to do that may be the proposed Donlin gold mine. But many villages in the region are conflicted over the mine. In the first of three stories on Red Devil, Christy Schallenberger from Alaska's Energy Desk reports that as residents consider the potential of the new mine, they're also reckoning with the contamination from the abandoned mine the town is named after.
Rebecca Wilmarth is cooking bacon for breakfast. Outside her window, you can see a big, green, well-manicured lawn. It's an unusual site in one of the most remote places in Alaska.
I think there is a history of this area, people having big gardens, putting up food for the winter. You know, that sounds kind of cliche, but we really do.
While we talk, Rebecca's phone pings occasionally with emails. She has to string together multiple part-time jobs to make a living. She's the agent for Raven, maintains the airstrip.
I sell fuel and do lodging accommodations once in a while, but it's not steady.
Rebecca also sends her 7-year-old daughter to Palmer for school because Red Devil doesn't have one. Red Devil used to be home to Alaska's biggest mercury mine. The mine is the reason Red Devil exists. Before it started in 1933, there was no permanent village here. At its height, the village had a bar called the Mercury Inn, a school, a clinic, and a store. Miners came from nearby communities. But all that shut down in 1971, and people slowly left to find other jobs.
So we're just kind of in this stagnant position.
The nearest store is in Sleipmute, a 20-minute boat ride up the river. Otherwise, Red Devil residents have to order groceries, which depends on unreliable air travel. Rebecca grew up here, and she wants to stay.
I love everything about it. Just the isolation, I guess, from the rest of the society.
Rebecca's father is Dick Wilmarth, better known as the very first Iditarod champion. He also loved Red Devil, and he passed that on to Rebecca along with the lifestyle. She has Gold Miner's Daughter tattooed on her right arm. The lifestyle is pretty demanding, but Rebecca and other residents here think the proposed Donlin Gold Mine could help revive Red Devil. Donlin is a gold mine that would be built just 50 miles down the Kuskokwim River. The mine would employ 800 people, and she imagines that could attract new residents to Red Devil.
I think that's what this area needs right now is development of some kind.
The Donlin Mine could be one of the biggest gold mines in the world, and the project is well on its way. Last year, it secured two vital federal permits and a handful of state permits. Glenn Morgan was raised in Red Devil, but left with his family once the mine closed. He lived in Anchorage for almost 2 decades, but returned in 2015 with his wife after they retired. Glenn's parents are buried in Red Devil.
There's no economy no more, so it had it just slowly everybody went away. We had a permanent home here, so it didn't affect us that much. But other people didn't, so they moved on.
Glenn, his brother Joe Morgan, and Rebecca all want to revitalize Red Devil. They want to bring back basic services, like a health clinic, for the people that still live there. They would love the community to grow to a population of 200, the same size it was when the Red Devil mine was in full swing just 3 miles away. Joe Morgan takes us to the old mine site. The mine is now covered in trees and brush, with a trail leading back toward where the buildings once stood. We walk up a trail, see a bear print, and stop at a sign covered in fireweed. The sign says Red Devil Mine, U.S. Department of Interior, Bureau of Land Management. Danger, material at mine site may present human health risks. The Red Devil Mine left behind more than just the memory of good jobs. It left behind pollution from the mine's mercury tailings. In part two of our series, we'll look at how Red Devil residents weigh the risks of that mercury pollution against staying in Red Devil permanently. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Christy Schallenberger in Red Devil.
And I'm Robin for KUAC.